Welcome to Jess Williamson, the podcast where we build businesses for life.
I'm currently on my book tour all across Australia, and it has been such an incredible whirlwind getting to meet so many of you all across the country. But I know some of you are not in Australia or maybe couldn't make it to my book launch events. And so I am bringing you this podcast episode from our event in Melbourne with my incredible friend, Alicia, the Social Impact. She is a Reels and Instagram coach, marketing mentor, and the host of She Got Lucky podcast. And she joins me to interview me all about my book and my journey. And I'm sharing things that I have never shared anywhere before. Now, the feedback from these events, honestly, have been bringing me to tears, because the feedback has been that these events have sparked something within every single person in those rooms. Some people have even told me that, or sent me messages, that it was life changing. And I do not take this lightly. And so I'm out here trying to change more lives. So this is the episode for you. You are going to take away some things you didn't even know you needed today. So dive in. If you're listening to this, please share it on your social media. Tag me at Jess.Williamson8 and Alicia at The Social Impact, because I'd love to hear what you think. But secondly, if you have not yet ordered a copy of my book, Unstoppable Success, there is so much more in the book that I am not covering in this episode. This is like 1% of the goodness that you're going to get from my book. And my book is all about how to create that illogical levels of success, more money, more freedom, more joy, more major goals and major impact. So if that sounds like you and you're an entrepreneur or a girl with big dreams, then you can order my book on Amazon, Booktopia, and all good bookstores. It's called Unstoppable Success. Okay, let's dive into today's episode.
There's a lot of business books out there. Naturally though, when I saw that you had created your book, I knew it was going to be different. I knew it was going to be from a very relatable and vulnerable way. Okay. But for anyone here tonight who already might have a bit of a list of books to read, what's going to be different? What is different about Unstoppable Success?
Okay, this is a great question. So when I was writing Unstoppable Success, you've got a lot of books around people's story and memoirs, and they're super inspiring and super powerful, and we can always take so much from that. And then on the other side, we have a lot of books that say step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, however many steps we want to go for, but we have really biz strategy books. And I wanted to bring both together, where it took you on a bit of a journey. There's some funny stories, there's some sad stories, there's some challenging stories, but then there's also really practical steps. And because I never do things small, we don't, I just don't. I decided that alongside the book, there's a whole workbook that literally goes with it. I think it was like 50 to 100 pages, somewhere beneath between those two numbers. There's a whole workbook that you get free with the book, which has everything: journaling prompts, action steps, worksheets, like literally everything you need to do that. So I said, what else can we put in there? Other than a video, didn't figure out how we could do that yet, but everything is in there you need to create success regardless of your business model.
Amazing. Amazing. You've literally, like, anything that you could have done, you're like, we're doing it. Fantastic. So a big thing, Jess, for me that has always stood out with you is fantasy land. The, you know, Delulu is the Sululu, right? And for so many things that you have done, it seems so unrealistic. It's your reality. But for so many people to have all the businesses and all the success that you have created at such a young age, can we talk a bit about fantasy land?
Yes.
And perhaps as well, who wants a little bit more of this fantasy land in their life, okay? Allow themselves to think outside the box. Allow themselves to think, hey, it's possible. How do we step into that?
Yes, this is super interesting because it's obviously like viral on TikTok. It's like the trending Delulu. And honestly, I was delusional before it was cool. Like, I literally was so delusional before I even knew what that word meant. And I always remember when I started my first ever business, I just said, I'm going global. That's obvious. So let's go global. Let's take one step at a time. And it's almost been this blind faith where it literally is delusional. And so that has honestly been the key to all of my success. Like, honestly, even writing this book was delusional for me because I read my first book when I was like 20 years old. Never read a book in my life before that. I read a few pages of a book and that was it. Read my first book at 20 years old and I most certainly was not a writer. But here I am with a published book. And so none of the things that I have ever done made any sense whatsoever logically, but I just said, why not me? And of course, my whole book teaches you how to step into that mindset a little bit more. But if you've ever had a goal, if you've ever just even had a inspirational moment where you thought, maybe I want to write a book. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, I would love to write a book one day. The best question you can ask yourself is, why the hell not me? Why can't I be that person? And be bold enough to be like, here the hell I am, and I am not a writer, and I am not a reader either, but I've written a book, and I have read my own book, I have. But we really have to just ask ourselves, like, if I can give you that one thing, it's just, why not me? We all have excuses. We all have reasons why it shouldn't work out for us. But if we can lead ourselves with that question, before you know it, you're sitting up here, and you're like, holy shit, I just wrote a book. So that is my best tip without reading you the whole book.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, even as you said, you know, I'm not a singer. I'm not a writer. I'm not an author. I'm not an influencer. I'm not a, you know, the only way to become it is to actually do it. Mm. And I know that in your book, you talk about the doing so much. And the only way to see success is to actually do it. Now, with that does come failure, right? I'm going to put failures because I think the way I see it, and even, you know, even reading through the way you describe your failures, it's kind of the way I visualize it is kind of like a trampoline. And, you know, you reach your lowest point only so you can be flung up into the air so freaking high. And some of your biggest failures, you celebrate so proudly. And I think that's such an incredible thing you do. It's in the book. Can we talk about perhaps how you've turned some of your failures into your biggest successes?
Yeah. I have a love-hate relationship. And there's a whole chapter that says, I love failing and you will too. Because when we think about it and when we get down to the nitty-gritty, the way our memories are stored are based on the meanings we attach to them in those moments. And the time when I emptied my entire life savings and couldn't even pay for parking when I got to my full-time job that I hated, that I couldn't pay for lunch that day because I was too busy and I didn't make lunch. Honestly, even in those moments, I didn't say this is a failure. And because I never attached that meaning to it, it never stored away in my memory. And honestly, I used to do podcast interviews all the time or press interviews, and for some reason, they always want to know, what's your biggest failure? As human beings, we love to connect over similar challenges. And everyone would always ask me that. And I'm like, I don't have any. What do you mean? What is my biggest failure? I honestly don't have any because I was trying to recall memories from my failure folder that was empty. It doesn't mean there was no challenges. It just meant that I never attached that meaning to failure. It's just like, well, great. That's a challenge. I don't know about you guys, but I love a good challenge. And it's like, you want to come at me? You want to roadblock me? You want to punch me down while I'm already down? Let me get back up and let me show you what I can do. And so even in that moment where I had emptied my entire life savings, literally went to pay for my parking, and I was like, why is there negative $2? I had no idea that it even happened. I said, oh, okay. I cried. I called my mom. And then I was like, all right, well, I just got to sell some more stuff, don't I? Like, okay, I've got no money, whatever. I need to get more money. Great. The solution is sell more stuff. And so I also, firstly, don't store it as a memory, as failure. But secondly, I separate the facts from the emotion. The fact was I had no money. That was a fact. Didn't mean I was a bad business owner. Didn't mean I was a failure. Didn't mean anything because I didn't let it mean that. And that's the power of failure. Firstly, I was like, well, now I got to actually make a budget and make sure I don't just be like, great, $10,000. Let me pay for this. Let me pay for that. And oopsie, emptied my life savings. So now I know how to check my zero accounts and make sure that I have a bit of a budget going.
Love it. We're not even sponsored by Zero tonight, but good stuff. We like it. So I think that's really powerful though, Jess. And I think that in itself is such immersing yourself that with this tonight is great. But this is one of the powers of what Jess is talking about tonight. You get to walk away with, and you get to literally read this anytime you need that reminder. And I love this because whether you decide to write your own book like Jess, or whether you're just inspired by Jess to really tap into the power of storytelling, rather than being failures, it's a plot twist. It's a plot twist in your story. And a big thing here, Jess, you've pointed out, I know that you talk about this a lot, is detaching the meaning. Now, whether you've started your business, whether you are already in business, when things don't work out, it is so easy for us to attach the result to who we are as people. Oh, that didn't work out. I must be a bad business owner. Oh, that didn't work out. That launch didn't go well. My offer must be pretty crap. And just literally hearing the way you talk about this, put on your CEO hat, and a part of being unstoppable in your success is detaching. It's not about you. It's about what you're doing. It's one thing to hear it right now, but how do you literally live and breathe detaching your results to who you are as a person?
Yeah, I think this has been really, really powerful. So obviously when our minds are really a self-seeking prejudice, in a sense, a self-fulfilling bias. And so if we see ourselves as someone who always faces challenges, who always has failures, who always has shit to deal with, then we are going to seek out anything that reinforces that belief. So I believe it actually changes when we see ourselves as someone who is unstoppable. Because rather than seeking out, oh, that's another failure, that's another reason I should give up, we're then seeking out, hell yeah, let me bust through that. Let me bust through that roadblock. Whatever comes up, it's like if you see yourself as someone who is unstoppable, it's like, just watch me. Just watch me power through this and I'm gonna rise up and come out the other side. So when we can start to almost rewire who we believe we are first, of course we're going to show up. Of course we're going to say, why not me? Why can't I do a damn nationwide book tour? Why can't I start a fashion label with zero experience and zero clue what I was doing? And if I knew Christina back then, I would have seeked her out. But I made it up as I went. So when we can see ourselves as that first, and I don't know where I got it from. People always ask me, was it your parents and stuff? And I was like, look at my brother. Not the same. But when we can see ourselves as that, how else will we show up?
And in that, being unstoppable, leading that way as I'm unstoppable, something that might pop up is looking to your left and looking to your right. And whilst you can be so inspired by the incredible people who surround you, it's also super easy to get caught up in comparison. And that can start to eat into this story that we're telling ourselves, the belief of I am unstoppable, but wait a second. She doing, I'm not doing that, you know, and that starts to bite in. I'm sure across your businesses, you have had that. And I'm sure that even once you've overcome it, something else has popped up. So how do you deal with comparison?
Where do I start? There's like a whole section in the book about this because I have a lot to say. Who has ever heard? Maybe you've been in that spiral of comparison and you go to a loving friend or even you're looking at things online and they say, but you don't know how well they're doing. So don't worry about it. Who's ever heard that? Yeah, I would say, can we stop that, please? Like, if you hear anyone say that, say, shut up, please, because why do we need to see someone here and we say, I'm not enough, I see myself down here, and we say, you know what will fix that? Let me pull them down to where I feel like I am. Why do we do that? And it's become such a norm. Oh, but you don't know how well they're doing. What if they're doing better? What if? It's all what ifs. So what if we said, holy heck, that is amazing. One, super inspiring. That's what gets to be possible. But two, we can actually look at that and say, where am I not letting myself play to my full potential? Where am I being playing small? Because we can only ever feel triggered by someone else's success when we say, I should be there. Great to say, I'm capable. I'm capable of that. I should be there. But you're still over here banking up excuses. So I actually love comparison because anytime, and as human beings, we are hardwired to sometimes be triggered about different things, right? But I actually love these triggers because it's like an alarm system. It's saying, Jess, you've been playing small. You've been playing small out here. You better step it up because you know you want that. And it allows me to say, oh, where have I been playing smaller? Where have I been holding myself back? And so I actually love comparison because then I can say, let me sort this out first. And I don't need to bring them down. Then I feel good for a little while, but I'm still playing small. I'm going to be triggered by someone else. next week. And so that, honestly, when I feel a level of comparison, because when no one is immune to it, I move through it so quickly. Because one, I'm able to say, wow, that's freaking inspiring. And two, let me do something about it. Or one, actually, two questions. One, is it really what I want? Because sometimes we think we want it, but we don't actually. And if the answer is yes, then what am I going to do about it? Comparison cannot exist when we know we're playing full out. We just can't.
I love that. And it's definitely, you know, something that I see a lot is we are surrounded by distractions and the next steps forward as business owners. There is always going to be things you're like, oh, I could do that, but is it my ego that wants to do that? Or is it actually my brain as a business owner thinking that's a really good step forward? So I'm really excited now, Jess, to actually really dive in. And anytime something that perhaps is in the book that triggers me, that's just a new area for me to work on. There's going to be a lot of personal development, I think. But I think another thing, Jess, that I know you've spoken about is burnout, okay? And I'm not even going to ask you to put up your hands because as business owners, we experience that. We experience it again and again and again until we figure out that I need to do something so it stops the cycle. I know that you've dealt with this. And a big thing, and I know that you'll talk about in the book, it's through everything you do, all your work. But when you're starting to get into that stage of burnout, our sort of like animal instincts start to come out. The competitive side of us. That's an idea. I've got to do it first before anyone else comes up with it.
That was my number one reason for burnout. I was like, oh my God, someone's going to beat me. So I better just go faster, go harder, go more. Yeah. Can you relate?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I think it's really powerful to be competitive, to want to strive to be better. But with that, it comes with this need of never feeling enough, never feeling I'm doing enough. So whilst you've seen so much success, and this feeds into the comparison as well, how do you work on when I need to be doing more? Oh, that's an idea. Oh, Jess has launched a book. How cool would it be if I launched a book? I've got a good story to tell. Maybe I should do that now. Maybe I should add that more onto the plate. How do you deal with all the moving pieces and now stopping the cycle of being burnt out before it happens?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me was, and I think society is hardwired on this idea of hard work equals success. And it's been ingrained into us over generations and generations that we don't even realize we're doing it. And so for me, when I started to break this cycle of burnout, that's when I sold a few of my businesses and I said, okay, I cannot do 5 at once like I thought I could, which actually now I think I could because I'm grounded within myself. But before I was chasing the 5 businesses and doing more because I didn't feel enough or I thought someone was going to beat me to it. But when we feel into burnout, I actually had to rewire working less equals more success. And when I started to even just entertain that idea, crazy things began to happen. I would be working Monday to Thursday, I would have Fridays off. I set them as my feel good Fridays and set a hard boundary. No work, only whatever makes me feel good. If that's sleeping all day, great. If that's binging some really reality TV, then amazing. If it's going to the beach, amazing. And what happened was Monday to Thursday, 0 sales. I stepped foot on the sand, $5,000 dropped in. You cannot make this up. I had a friend and I was like, hey, I just made $10,000. She was like, are you at the beach again? And I said, yes, I am. And even my VA, my incredible team member, she jokes, Jess, you need to go to the beach more. Because it started to create this, it makes no sense. It makes no logical sense. And it's so hard for us to be like, what do you mean just go to the beach? Now, obviously, I wasn't just going to the beach 24-7 like magic. Where's the money? Jess told me, like, waiting. No, I put in the work. But I said, what was the absolute necessity to move the business forward? And I forgot the rest. And then I went to the beach. I filled up my cup. I was then able to have the best ideas I ever had that actually moved my business 20 steps forward, that actually grew my businesses more, impacted more people. And so when I actually allowed myself to even believe that when I work less, I actually create more success, that's when things began to change. And when I got really specific, because I don't have Fridays now, it's like, oops, Friday doesn't exist. I got to fit it into a Monday to Thursday. And that was when I was going from max burnout. Now, honestly, every day feels like a Friday. It's like 3 p.m., 2 p.m. I'm watching the Kardashians on the couch. But when I did that, it meant that I had to get specific. I no longer had 7 days a week to fill with useless things. Like, they're great. They're nice. There's a million things we could do in our business. Are they all going to be that impactful? Not really. So I would say, one, set yourself a boundary. Set yourself a feel-good Friday if you're currently maybe in that burnout zone or your version of it, because you'll be resourceful. You'll make it work.
So taking a step to the side of burnout, because I know that's not just everything that's in the book. I know that the book is literally so much more. And one thing that I would say is, you know, if I got asked, like, what about Jess's book is different? If you have worked with Jess, if you've listened to her podcast, if you've heard her speak about her story or anything, you will know that she combines an element of her story and the mindset lessons you learn in a way that really feels like you sit there and you feel seen, but not in a way that you're able to, you know, set like, you know, I can claim the victim. I can say, yes, you've experienced that. I've experienced that too. Let's celebrate that we're struggling. You really acknowledge the struggles, but it's moving forward. How do I overcome that? So inside the book, I know that there'll be so many times where people are reading, they're like, that's me right now. That was me 5 years ago. That was me 5 months ago. But inside the book, what were some of the perhaps chapters or stories that you hadn't really expected to put in there? You know, when you started to map this out, and I'll explain so you can have a second to think about it. But when you started to map out the book and you saw all the pieces coming together, but perhaps there was a story or a moment or a lesson that you wanted everyone here tonight to, you know, to experience, was there anything that popped up that you thought that was a plot twist, that was a story, that was a moment that really I know everyone will take that, you know, value from? Just diving through all the chapters.
I think you've stumped me. I think I knew I was going to put all those things in there. So yeah. I don't think they were a surprise to me. I think the biggest surprise with the whole process was when you get a publisher, they have their own version, how they need it to look. Then they have 10 editors that go through it. So I think the most surprising thing of the journey was I was going to have to put my ego aside and be like, I think all of us as entrepreneurs, we become entrepreneurs because we don't want to be told what to do, right? And so then when I partnered with my incredible publisher, they are amazing and we have brought together the best book possible. But I had spent a year putting it together with multiple editors myself. And then they came on board and had their like 10 editors review it. And it was quite a moment that I had to be like, can you just not change anything? Can you just pipe down? I don't know why my publisher sent me every bit of feedback, but she did. One of the ladies was a bit of an older lady and she had said, this story makes you highly unlikable. Thank you. What would you like me to do about it? Thanks for that feedback. Like, great. But it's because she was triggered by me talking about money and probably whatever story came up for her. And so there were parts where I actually did have to push back as well, because I've done all the work to be okay if I trigger people. But that also calls them to a higher level. So I would say that would be the most surprising part of the journey for me. Yeah.
Which that just, I mean, for anyone who's excited, for everyone who's excited to read this book, I think that just builds that excitement even more to know that even though you worked with editors, even though you worked with a publisher, you didn't dull who you are to fit the stereotype. Mm. And I think that would be sad if the book lost that. So that's brilliant to know.
I hope this episode has brought you so much inspiration, igniting that fire under your butt and giving you some clarity to go and implement into your business right now, because without implementation, there is no reward. So if you have loved this episode, thank you for hanging out with me today. And if you would like to go deeper, I am updating my free trainings all of the time. The link is in the show notes. And these are not your surface level free trainings. These are actual deep trainings that I share with my mastermind students. So if you would like to get some more guidance on your business, then click the link in the show notes and you can dive into some of my free trainings that I'm updating regularly. I'll see you on the next episode.